Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Hello and welcome to the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, Kyle. This week on The Conversation, Hillary does not do the walkthrough in the first debate. Why? I'll get into that. And I'll get into my thoughts on the debate last night, who won, who lost, and all that. According to a former VA official, more than one-third of the calls get rolled over due to poor work habits. And other problems at the VA. Really? Lord help those people who served this country. Also, Donald Trump's campaign manager says Trump didn't lie when he said that Lester Holt, he thought was a Democrat, and he found out later that he was actually a Republican, and he said that it would be very biased in the debate, and I'll get into that too also. There is a picture going around the internet from Hazel Chuko, being from having family and stuff from Michigan, this kind of hits home. In Westland, Michigan, she posted a picture that went viral that showed brown water coming out of the faucet, and she thought that would enact change. It did enact tons of change. She got suspended for it. I'll get into that. Any of you who loved golf ever in your life will be saddened by the loss of one of the greatest ever. I think my favorite was Jack Nicklaus, but I think the greatest golfer was Arnold Palmer, and he died at 87. And what he brought to the golf game. Also, Miami Marlins pitcher Jose Fernandez, Cuban-American, died of a boating accident off the Miami Beach coast area just days after his wife said that she was pregnant. I'll get into that. Being a baseball fan kind of hits home with the whole major league. You don't take any day for granted. Also, will there be space for Wayne Rooney at Manchester United? That much more. So welcome to the conversation that you're a part of. 1 Corinthians 6. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. You must honor God with your body. Kind of think about that as you're going through your day today, and welcome to the program that you're a part of, the Weekly Conversation, the Tuesday edition. I want to thank you all for tuning in. If you don't know, some of you might, but this is our 1-year and 3-month anniversary, me and my wife. We're like little kids. Every month we celebrate our anniversary sometimes. We've missed it like once, but we were so busy. But other than that, you know, we don't take our relationship for granted and all. But, I mean, we do have our separate spaces. I mean, like I actually had to turn off the debate near the end because I couldn't take any more of it. And I'm a very political guy, but
I lasted longer than
my wife, but my wife's not really. I mean, I kind of look at it like Donald Trump is the ginger to Hillary Clinton's nausea, and there has to be enough Trump to get me to not want to throw up from what Hillary said. But the problem you have is you're going to have a lot of people that, and there's a post out there that said this. I can't believe that people will believe every lie Hillary says, but they won't believe every truth that Trump says. I was disappointed with the debate last night, and I'll tell you why. I'll put down Hillary a lot too. They basically say, okay, let's find all the dirt we can dig up on Trump and all the dirt we can dig up in Hillary, and let's push that instead of talking about substantive issues. I felt like I was watching the Ringling Brothers Circus. I like him. I like Trump. That's, if I had to pick, I'd probably vote Trump, which I probably would 99% will. But when you listen to the debate, I think the greatest thing that I heard out of it was Trump goes, I will be, against my attorney's wishes, I will be releasing my emails. Just kidding. His tax returns. He doesn't have any deleted emails, but he's going to release his tax returns the day Hillary Clinton releases those 33,000 emails that were deleted. And I'm like, right on. There you go. No offense, but if Barack Obama turned over his tax returns, he did it of his own accord. If I could say, well, what's he hiding? Barack Obama's not handing over his tax returns. He doesn't have to. Bill Clinton didn't have to hand over his tax returns. He did. He didn't have to. Neither did George Bush. There's no requirement for it. You may sit there, well, what is George Bush hiding by not handing over his tax returns? Or what is Bill Clinton hiding? Or Ronald Reagan? They never have to. They don't have to. Everyone has in the last 40 years. But you don't have to. There's no law that states it. But I guess they have nothing on Trump. They've spent billions trying to dig up something on Trump, and they can't. And everything, like last night, Hillary Clinton's like, well, in 1972, there was a lawsuit filed against you because you refused to have black people live in one of your facilities. Well, okay. What does that have to do with today and right now? They bring up they have these commercials that have Hillary Clinton has where it has Trump saying something on Oprah Winfrey. And we're going to hold Trump to that. Well, that lawsuit thing from 72, actually, it was a class action. So there were more than just Trump that was sued, and they ended up winning. They ended up no contest. I forget what it was like. No, like there was nothing. They were not found guilty of anything. Hillary Clinton can say something and 5 minutes later, oh, well, that was 5 minutes ago. I can change my mind, but they tried to hold Trump to something he said 20 years ago. I forget what show it was, but there was a guy that was a massive, like, KKK leader. He was like an Aryan Brotherhood type person, and he's covered in tattoos with swastikas and all this, like neo-Nazi propaganda. And he went into there's organization that's like against all that stuff. I forget what the heck they call it, but he went in there and they thought, okay, the lion's walking into the wrong den, like this guy's, and he had changed his view. And he said, this is no joke. I see the light. I'm not going to be one of these people that, I've seen the light. I'm not racist anymore and all this. And now he speaks out against all these hate groups like the KKK and Aryan Brotherhood. Trump I don't understand. I guess since they don't got anything on him, they're going to try to hold stuff over his head. Well, I can sit there and say, well, Hillary Clinton was a Goldwater girl. She supported segregation. She was against the Civil Rights Act in 1964 of desegregation. She was against it. But I guess I wanted to hear substantive issues, but there was one guy from MSNBC that said, well, we're not going to have a debate tonight because Trump's just going to lie the whole time and Hillary Clinton's just going to have to try to set the record straight the whole time, so nothing's going to be done. I'm like, it's amazing how, well, we have fact checkers, and we had an independent group look at my plan versus Trump's plan, and Trump's plan is going to add $50 zillion to the deficit. Every day we're going to have $75 trillion to the deficit, but mine's going to actually give a surplus. My plan is going to give every American $50 million. I mean, that's the way she sounded. The thing I saw with Trump is he wants you to be an American. He wants you to work. He wants you to earn a living. Hillary's like, well, the American wages haven't gone up. What do you mean the American wages haven't gone up? you can make your wage go up. You can get a better job. Work harder. I don't want to sit there and, well, I'm not trying to rely on the government. I don't want the government to, I want to be able to go to my boss and say, hey, this economy is great. We're making lots of money. Here you go. I'm giving everyone in the company a dollar raise. I'm tired of, well, we're only giving you a raise because we have to. We can't afford to, but we have to because the government says so. I don't want that. But, you know, that's what... I don't want... Hillary Clinton just sounds 100% like government. Government, you know, the government... Sorry. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. You want to know who my leader is? Jesus Christ. He's my God. He's my King. He's my Savior. You know, I didn't open up the Bible and read the Bible app on my lunch break or listen to it and have them talk about King Trump or King Hillary. I didn't, but, you know, if you find out, if your Bible has something about Queen Hillary Clinton, let me know, because mine doesn't, and it never will. You know, I put my trust in God, not in government. I don't know where we got to this entitlement society where, well, I want a minimum wage. Well, you know, these people that want to work at Walmart, but then be able to have a cush living. I want to be able to have a $70,000 car and be able to go everywhere and do everything, but I want to work at Walmart or Burger King. You know, me and my wife combined have 3 jobs. We work a lot because we have what we earn. You know, I have, when I look at stuff I have, I earned it. There's no Native American saying that, like, if you make something, part of it becomes in you. Like with African drums, they believe there's 3 spirits, the spirit of the tree, the spirit of the animal, and the spirit of the maker. And part of each of those is in the drum. You know, I want to have something that's, because if the government gives you a $2 an hour raise, they can take it away. But I'm not, I wanted to hear more substantive issues. I wanted to hear more about, okay, things going on. I did love what Trump said that, okay, you know, you release those 30,000 emails and I'll release my tax returns. You may complain that Barack Obama's not releasing his yet or whoever, but at the same time, they don't have to. They don't have to release their tax returns. They can. Last night, there was actually a photo taken where there's like a cord behind Hillary Clinton's back, and there's a lot of people that there's 2 things. Is it like a heart monitor? The main thing we think it is there's a lot of people that think that she has an earpiece in, and they're feeding her, they're giving her help, they're giving her answers. That makes more sense. And that does make, because there's been several photos of it. And I'll get into that because I want to get in, because the reason why I bring that up, and that does make a lot of sense, is for this one thing. WikiLinks just dropped another bombshell about Hillary Clinton's health. And she actually reached out in 2012 to the NFL commissioner and asked for advice about dealing with her cracked head and head injuries. And when she hit her head, there's a lot of people that think she might be suffering from dementia, and they're just, that is to help her out so that they can give her help.
I think she's suffering from dementia and Parkinson's.
And like I talked about to the fans of the conversation last week, Hillary Clinton, this doctor says that he's not her practicing physician, but everything he sees points to Parkinson's. And she actually asked in October of, from August to October in 2011, she was asking about this controlled drug called Prevagil. And it's actually only used for 3 things: Alzheimer's, multiple sclerosis, and the third one, guess what it is? Parkinson's disease. there are some long haul truckers that supposedly try to get a hold of it because I guess it gives you some energy and stuff, and it can keep you up for a while for the long haul. But here's the thing. We're not dissing Hillary. Like I've said before, I supported Bernie Sanders in the fact that he came out and said, yes, I'm a socialist. At least he has the balls to admit it. I would support Hillary Clinton if she said, yes, I want to come out and say something, folks, to the American people. I have early onset Parkinson's disease, and it's not going to deter me from trying to make this country better and great. I will have all the medical, you know, she came out and said, yes, I'm dealing with this issue. This is what's going on. This is why I'm having this. I would respect it. I wouldn't vote for her, but I would at least respect her honesty. But it's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, it's not, we're not, none of the people that have come out are like me questioning her. We're not dissing her. I don't wish the death on Obama. I don't wish death on anybody except for maybe a child molester or a serial killer. But I don't want, you know, I don't wish harm on her. But at the same time, you know, she needs to be upfront if she's really having issues. But I have heard this many, many times that before all this came about, they were basically voting, like when she was going up against Barack Obama, they were voting for her because it's just going to be Bill Clinton getting in the White House again, running it. So, you know, and that's what it would be. He would just run the country because for some reason, a lot of people think he's like one of the best presidents, if not the best president, that they thought everything was great and hunky dory when he ran the White House. But I don't know. I beg to differ on that one, but I want to get into this because if you don't believe the debate was, how would you say it, like favoring one candidate over the other? These are the top. Here are a list of the top 10 issues Hillary was not asked about at Monday's debate. We can do like the David Letterman top 10. Okay, number 10. Her deception and lack of transparency on her health. Number 9. Her comments about wanting to put the coal industry out of work. Number 8. Veterans Affairs scandal. She called not widespread. She basically said, oh, it's no big deal. Her deep support from and ties to Wall Street. Number 6, her support of Obamacare. Number 5, her failures and lies on the attacks in Benghazi. Number 4, the Clinton Foundation pay-to-play accusations, which are true. Number 3, her basket of deplorables insult towards millions of Americans. Number 2, the multiple false statements about her extremely careless actions endangered our national security. And, you know, and number 1, the 5 aides given immunity by the FBI or her reckless server, you know, because of the reckless server and all this stuff. And they just, I plead the fifth. Those are things that were not mentioned, talked about. Why not? What they need to do is they need to get someone to moderate the debate that's from another country that doesn't know anything so that they can just be unbiased. They have nothing to gain. How are you doing? I am from India. I am a debater. I'm here to moderate the debate. I am from the national TV in India. I don't care about your country. I'm just here to be an honest and unopinionated. That way they can bring up these questions. I'm tired of some of these candidates like Hillary Clinton getting candy coated. But then they'd probably pay that Indian guy off or something. You know, I mean, they'd probably pay whoever it was off. Here you go. Just before we start the debate, thank you, Hillary, for the $20 million you gave me and my family. to help you. Oops. Sorry, I forget that. I was not supposed to say that. Huh. I really didn't happen. I'm just saying, yeah. But anywho, you know, why weren't those questions asked? If I was Trump, I'd have brought up all that stuff. But then it goes back to, there would be no substantive issues talked about. But I would have said, okay, you allowed four Americans to die in Benghazi. You told the American people that it was a cartoon, but you were telling your family it was actually terrorism. How do you expect the American people to trust you? If you can't even help four Americans in Benghazi, how are you expected to help millions in America? I guess that's the big thing last night with the debate. So many people were like, well, they felt like, okay, there was no substantive issues talked about, so... But it had like 81 million people watched. So it's a pretty big audience, I think. But... And I do think Lester Holt was very... I mean, he didn't do that great of a job. He should have controlled it better. You know, okay. But then trying to control those two, it'd be hard. Because Trump is very outspoken. That's the one thing. But I think it was almost too outspoken. Okay, he didn't look presidential. I mean, I'm glad he was outspoken. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad he's like, well, telling Hillary where to put it. But at the same time, I think a lot of people want to see him because they don't see him or Clinton as presidential like. But I support Trump because at least he's not like Sarah Palin. It's like, well, I can't believe when I saw that thing on Greta Van Susteren, where she goes, Greta, I was not allowed to talk about Barack Obama's relationship to Bill Lares or Reverend Jeremiah Wright and the killing of whites and his babies, and he went to that church and all this stuff for 22 years. I wasn't allowed to talk about that. I would have talked about it. Well, they said that they would throw me under the bus if I did that because they would just eat us alive if I talked about that. So, okay, let them eat me alive. I'd rather call it like I see it and lose then not call it like I see it. I mean, that's just me. I mean, I call it like I see it. That's how I am. I don't care. If you like me, great. If you don't, great. Like there was a thing many, many years ago in the 80s. Well, why do you listen to Howard Stern? Because we wonder what he'll say next. That was the people that liked him. What about the people that hate him? They listen to him too. Well, why? Because they wonder what he's going to say next. You know? It's ridiculous. Because I guess a lot of people wanted substantive issues and that's not what was talked about. I mean, as I move on now, because this is something, because my dad's a veteran. And so is my wife's dad. But according to a former VA official, more than a third of the calls to the VA are rolled over in this country. You know, they just take them in there because of poor work habits and because of other problems. You know, they just roll it over.
Now, there's a reason why my dad will never go to a VA hospital.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but if you are a vet, you should be able to go to any hospital in the United States and get whatever you need to have done. What they do for us. That's why if you ever see a guy with a vet hat, no matter if it's Korean War, World War II, Vietnam, it doesn't matter. Welcome them home. Tell them thank you. Let them know that they're appreciated. If they're sitting alone, ask them if you can join them. Sit down, have dinner with them. Whatever. You might make their day. You might make a new friend. You never know. But it's ridiculous because of poor work habits and other problems. Well, because I actually have to answer the phone. Yes, you are a telephone operator. That is your job. Well, you realize I actually got to pick up the thing. You know how much work that is? I gotta pick up the phone. See, I might chip a nail here, and you know that would, you know, that won't look good because then I'll have one nail that's broke and the rest. I mean, our vets deserve better than the crap that they're given. What we need to do, the president should have VA benefits. He should have to go to the VA to get taken care of and see how quickly things change. Oh, they'd change really quickly because he would just take his money and go to another doctor. But then, okay, you can only go to the VA. Nowhere else. Don't matter. We can't accept your money. It's not real. It's counterfeit. Sorry. I just hate when I've known people that have had their bank account seized for like $6,000 or $10,000 in the past. And you got people like Al Sharpton that owe millions in back taxes. And what do they do? Oh, he's, don't matter. It's ridiculous. I don't know if you heard about this, but this actually happened during the debate. Sean Lucas, an attorney who supported Bernie Sanders, was in the process in the last several months of filing a class action lawsuit against the Democratic Party. He was found dead. But does that matter? I mean, you know, that's just a coincidence that when he's trying to go after the Clintons, that he's dead again. Another one. You know, like I said, it doesn't matter who hacked those emails. The emails basically prove, like I'd tell Hillary Clinton this. It doesn't matter whether you knew about the fact that the DNC was hoping you get the nomination or not. You didn't denounce it. You had to have known, because even if you didn't know, you didn't denounce it. You didn't say, wait a minute here, I'm against that. And what happened? Gee, Bernie Sanders bought like a $600,000 house in Vermont not too far after. Gee, I wonder who got paid off there. That's just too much of a coincidence. But it's amazing how many people that try to go after Hillary Clinton get derailed. But I don't know if, since he's been killed, is that thing that he filed, is it still good or not? That's one thing. I'll have to look into to see if that's actually still valid or not. But about 31 minutes left in the program, folks, and I really want to thank you for being a part of the program that you're a part of and that you listen to and that I hope you get something out of. This is nuts. I don't know if you saw this. This kind of went viral. I kind of know about it because I get a bunch of news from Michigan, so because I have a bunch of family there and mother-in-law and father-in-law and everything live there, and a guy I call a brother and sister live up there. But in Westland, Michigan, there was a girl by the name of Hazel Jaco that shared a photo of a faucet in the bathroom that was dumping brown water. Thinking something would get done, something would be fixed, she would be a hero. She got suspended for it. Out of school suspension. Who would ever have thought that? Supposedly, they cannot reverse the out of school suspension, but they are going to take it off her record. Because originally they said, well, we're sorry, but that is a, what did they say? It's like a not a good use of school time. But not a good use of school time. Well, what? And well, maintenance should have gotten on that, and they're now investigating why it wasn't fixed and why maintenance didn't do anything and all this. So who knows? Who knows? Who knows? I just don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand. You know, someone tries to point out, hey, we have a problem, and they get suspended from it. I don't know. I grew up in a wrong, you know. I don't understand, you know. You have an NFL commissioner that's praising people that are not. See, I stand for the national anthem. I don't sit down. I don't agree with the way this country's going. I don't agree with the way they're trying to socialize this nation. But guess what? I'm not going to sit there and disrespect my national anthem because I disagree with the way this country's going. I'll do it in another way. If you think you're so oppressed in this country because of the color of your skin, okay, do it in some other way. As the great Rosa Parks once did, she refused to give up her seat on the bus, but she didn't trash the bus. There's a big difference. Now people, well, this white cop killed a black guy, so let's burn buildings and let's trash the city because of it. How is that solving anything? All that proves to me is that you're a jackass. You're a moron. You're stupid. You know, I thought we lived in a country where you're innocent until proven guilty. Not, well, you're a white guy and you killed a black guy, so you're guilty no matter what. Even if the black guy had a rocket launcher, 5 AK-47s, and he was shooting at you. And you were fighting back and stuff, it don't matter. You're guilty because the media says you are, because Black Lives Matter says you are. I don't get it. I really don't. Like this post I put on my Facebook. Each day I wake up in a house built by slaves. Well, each day I wake up in a mess built by your husband. I don't remember. And I don't take my word for it. I take a lot of the things I say. There are tons of black pastors who have come out and said, what is all this nonsense that's going on? I feel under Barack Obama that the race has gotten worse, not better. Race relations have gotten better, not worse. And I have to agree. When George Bush or Bill Clinton was president, where were the all-black dorms? Except for maybe in an all-black college. Or like an all-male college or all-female college. There weren't any. Now we have them. Coincidence? I don't think so. Hope and change failed. Time to kick ass and take names. That's how I feel. Try someone else. Politics as usual hasn't worked. Let's give someone else a try. What do we got to lose? What do we got to lose? I mean, I never thought I would live in an America where you take a picture of the bad water coming out of your faucet and you get suspended or you have to take off a pro-America t-shirt. I would have loved for them to tell me that when I was in school because I would have said, well, what do you, I'm leaving. I'm going outside. I'm taking that. If I'm going to take off this American shirt, then I'm going to take down the American flag. And well, if I can't wear, if someone's going to be offended by my shirt, then how can we have the American flag up here? Maybe someone that's going to be offended by the flag would be proud if we burn it. So we might as well just burn it too. Why not? We live in America. We might as well just disrespect the country we live in. Why not? You know, all these people come here and hate our country and hate our values, but they sure like our benefits. As I got talking to one to this guy one time, and you know, and I'm like, Trump's racist, and he's all this stuff, and I said I'm against. I like, well then why did Bill Clinton get praised when he talked about, because like Trump said the same thing, we're a nation of immigrants, but we're also a nation of laws. You know, and we got talking, and next thing you know, it's like, and I said, you know, I'm against illegals in this country. So what do you have against Mexicans? I said, what did I say anything about Mexicans? I said illegals. I said, if someone, so I didn't know that Russians were Mexican. He goes, what do you mean Russians? I said, so, if a Russian comes here illegal, how are they instantly Mexican? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where they come from. If they're illegal, then they don't have no business being here. That's why they're illegal. It's like, I went and I stole a pack of Marlboros. It's okay because it's only illegal to steal Winstons, but if you steal Marlboros, it's okay. No, it's if you steal, it's illegal no matter what it is. But I guess, you know, when we... For some reason, if you say illegal, it's instantly a Mexican. You can't be referring to anyone else from any other nation that would come here. If you come here on a work visa and you outstay the work visa, you're illegal. You have to go back. Mexico requires a voter ID card. Oh, but I'm racist because I think every American should have to have a voter ID card. I told that to someone. I go... Because he got in my face about it. I'm like, so then why does Mexico, why do you have to have a voter ID card, a government card for voting in Mexico? If I'm racist for demanding it in America, why is it law in Mexico? He couldn't respond. Well, you know, how many years does it take for someone to get a voter, to get an ID? You can't tell me someone from the projects, a black person, because, you know, it because that's what they claim, that you don't want blacks to vote. It can't take them. I guarantee you, in 25 minutes, they'll be at the food stamp office wondering why their card has no money on it, their EBT card. But you mean to tell me in 4 years they can't get an ID that so they can prove that who they are when they vote? It'll take them less than a... Take everyone in this country that has a food stamp card and make it have no money in it. And see how quickly they're going down to that food stamp office asking where their money is. But you take those same people and they couldn't, but it'd take them 25 years to get down to get an ID to prove who they are to vote. See, we're just racist because we don't want Mexicans here. I have no problem with Mexicans. I have a problem with people that are using other people's social security numbers, names, and then when your kids are 18 and they go to get a credit card, yeah, bad credit. What do you mean? And you find out that someone's been using your social security number for the last 10 years. It's ridiculous. I guess the thing I notice is a lot of Americans are seeing, this is not a left or right issue. It's not a Republican or Democratic issue. A lot of things that people are having an issue with. When you have, I guess that's why a lot of people didn't like the debate last night, because they want to know what Hillary Clinton's going to do about certain issues or Trump is going to do about certain issues, and they didn't hear that last night. You know, and it's frustrating. You know, when you see everyone living paycheck to paycheck, and like me and a lot of people, and you have people like Hillary Clinton that are wearing $20,000 suits and necklaces and all this stuff, and I know what you're going through. No, you don't. Oprah Winfrey doesn't know what I'm going through. Maybe at one time. Now she don't. You know, I want to earn my money. I don't want the government giving it to me. And that's what's going to happen. Because Hillary Clinton wants to, you see, that's what she's trying to do. Well, if you elect me, I'll guarantee you you're going to get a wage increase. Well, the government giveth and the government taketh away. And that's what's going to happen. Trump just needs to do the same thing. I mean, folks, if I get elected president, you're all going to get a $700 an hour wage. You know what I mean? What's Hillary Clinton going to offer? Like 12, 13, 14 bucks an hour? I'm offering 700 bucks an hour. But then they would probably spin it and, you know, it's just, I think people are tired of the circus and they wanted to hear actual issues. And they didn't get enough of that. And it's, I don't know. Because I think a lot of people are like, hey, this country is at the brink of going under. I'm going to see if I can find this. Where was this? This was funny. I posted this. And where, oh yeah, it goes. Actually, Billy, mommy and daddy watch these debates to get a feel for how much months of worth of canned foods and the ammunition we should be stocking in our cellar. And it's, you know, enough of that, folks. Enough said. Hard to believe. I used to watch golf when I was younger and stuff, and Jack Nicklaus and all the greats. When it was more, now I think it's more like a, because there really wasn't that much endorsement, I don't think, back then, you know. But I always thought it was cool to watch those guys, you know. And like, when I do it, they'd be sitting there at like the par five, and they'd be sitting there with, like, a pitching wedge, and they'd hit it, like, 400 yards. And I'd be sitting there swinging with every ounce of energy I have with a one wood. And that thing would go about 2 feet. And I'm like, what the heck is... I'm always fascinated by things I couldn't do. And when I heard Arnold Palmer died, he was just amazing. He was one that you, I guess, golf to me always had like prestige and, you know, like respect. And it was just, you know, to see some of these people that I grew up watching and admiring and stuff going, it's just, it's getting to be the end of an era. You know, some of the greats are, and he was just an amazing golfer and just an amazing guy. And he always went out and did for others. And, you know, he set an example for what you should be. You know, look at what I am and look at what I accomplished, but I'm going to give back. And he did so much to help other people and to be there for people. And, you know, and he's one of those people that would do it. Like if me and Melissa came into like money, like big time, I would still be the person I am. I'd just probably do it more. I do what I can, you know. Yeah. And a lot of things, and I will say this, there's a lot of things you can do, folks, that don't cost a dollar. Sit at a table with a vet and talk to him. It could mean the world. Like, you can see me? Yes, I can, sir, and thank you so much for your service. God bless you. Now, I've got your bill, but how you doing? What's going on? Oh, no, you're not taking the... I'll give you a ride home, so it's the least I can do. I'll give you a ride. Where you want to go? What do you want? You know, if you need anything, you know, if you need to go to Walmart and get something, I'll take you, whatever. You know, it doesn't cost that much to be a friend of someone, you know. And I think that's what Arnold Palmer, at least, I always got instilled in people. You know, you are a sports figure. People look up to you. You have an obligation to kind of be a Nowadays, it's like, okay, I got $1 million. I don't care. That means I can get more cocaine and I can get more guns and I can do stupid stuff. And it's just, I don't know, it's just, I mean, when you see a lot of these people that you grew up with watching, you know, like Harry Carey, when he passes, like, you know, one of the big things, we got WGN, so as I watched a lot of Cubs games growing up, because it was hard to follow my Tigers, but it was one of those things that, you know, I always remember, hi, I'm Harry Carey, and welcome to Cubs baseball. Holy cow, another home run. We're going to lose this game for sure. Ryan Sandberg, what are you doing? You're supposed to catch the ball. I still remember watching the game when the cameras came on, he's picking his butt. Oh, that classic. But it's memories that, you know, I can remember Palmer and Nicklaus playing golf and, you know, and I remember seeing the old black and whites of Ben Hogan and stuff. And it was just, you know, we didn't have the internet. So to see some of the stuff, you had to watch it on TV. It's not like you can sit there and look up like, okay, Ben Hogan playing golf and find millions of videos. We didn't have the internet when I grew up, you know. The internet was your TV that had 12 channels. And sometimes there was not really, this is the best of the worst. I don't want to watch any of these programs, but that's why I got hooked on, because I loved PBS, because it had, like, my wife's like always shaking her head like, ah. But like, I love the Woodwright Shop because I'm a history buff, and he would make all this stuff using actual tools, like the old tools. See, my wife doesn't understand, because I'm fascinated by things. Like, you couldn't get me to go up in an antenna tower that's like 2,000 feet high, but I actually watched a video today on it after I was listening to my Bible app, and this guy goes, no joke, he goes, there's 100 people in a room. You may have 10 that would even consider doing it, and after going through all the training, maybe 2 or 3 will actually turn into someone that will climb those, and they get paid, like, danger pay and all. I mean, it's good money. They probably get, like, 50, 60 bucks an hour, because how many people are going to climb up a 2,000-foot antenna, and some of them, they're like 500-foot antennas that you climb the whole way. There is no, like, elevator or anything. But I'm just fascinated by things like that. And kind of as we move on, you know, it's hard to believe, because I love baseball. And when I heard that Miami Marlins pitcher Jose Fernandez passed away, it's just like, wow. And it was a couple days before, his wife actually came out and said that he had a baby coming. He was just like on cloud 9 because of it. And he's a Cuban American. He was born on July 31st, 1992. And September 25th, he died in a boating accident near Miami Beach. And just one of those things that he was just, he was born in Santa Clara, Cuba. And he to me, epitomized what you can do with a dream. You know, he didn't come from the greatest country, but when he came here, he didn't take advantage of it. He said, I want to make something of myself. And Cuba is known for baseball players, and he made it. And it was amazing. He was named to the 2013 MLB All-Star Game and won the National League Rookie of the Year. Rookie of the Month award in July and August. And he won the Rookie of the Year award that year and finished third in the Cy Young Award balloting. You know, it's just, I grew up in a day when you could come to this country and dream of making something and do it. Now all I see is, okay, what's the government going to give me? Ask not what you can do for your country, but what they can hand out to you. That's what Hillary, I need to put that like on in our yard, like a Hillary Clinton sign. Ask not what you can do for your country, but what your country can hand out to you. Because that's what this world is coming to. You know, That's why I'm glad I have like a wife and someone like me that wants to earn what we have. Not this, give me, I want free stuff. There's about 9 minutes left in the program, folks, and I want to thank you all so much for tuning in and being a part of the conversation. As I move on, folks, this is one of the big topics of the evening. Does Manchester United have room for Wayne Rooney? Because there is now talk that they've had a couple decent games when they sat Wayne Rooney out as captain and Juan Mata stepped in. And, you know, he's been, it's not like he's a spring chicken. He's been there 10 years. So it's not like, you know, and they did so well, whether it was, if they put Wayne Rooney back in the lineup and they falter again, then you may have to question, is it Rooney or not? But at the same time, you know, well, I think he's still the captain. He's still on the team. But when it comes down to it as a team, you gotta do what's best for the team. And, you know, and if he plays full time on the team, yes. If not, I'd be disappointed if he's not on the pitch, but he's a great player. And he's played 10 plus years, so it's not, you know, he's had a great career. You know. And I think he'll still be at Man United, he'll still do stuff, he'll still play. Like I told one of the guys at work, I said, you know, we have to wait till February and you'll see what goes on. Because I didn't think I thought Chelsea would be way up at the top. With what they spent and what they've done. And, you know, and I try not to jump to conclusions because there's so much of the season left. And it was two games, you know. They're a great team. He's a great player. And I think the team's going in the right direction. And I think it's going to be exciting, you know. It's because I think when I was listening to the one game, they said, well, Alex Ferguson's last 8 years, he only lost like 12 or 13 home games in 8 years. And I think between last year, they lost like 13, I think. And I'm like, this is exciting, I guess, in a way, because it's not, because I remember the days when, okay, it's not if Manchester United wins, but how much, you know, that no one scored and how many games, you know, we had Alex Ferguson, there'll never be another one, you know, and it's interesting, you know, you got to go forward and not backwards. Got about 5 minutes left in the program, folks, and you know, I think it's exciting. You know, it's a great sport, and I like it a lot because they really do take that role of, hey, I'm a football player, I'm a role model to kids. They don't take it lightly. Where here it's kind of like, okay, I'm just gonna sit down, screw my national anthem, I don't care. But it's just one of those things that I don't get it. I don't get how, you know, like I don't understand how, because I don't support the way this country is trying to go very socialist and get away from its roots. But I will never disrespect my national anthem. I mean, that's why I will not watch the NFL anymore. Unless there's dramatic change, I'm done. You couldn't pay me. Let's just trample on the very thing and spit on the very thing that gives you the right to disagree. Hey, you can disagree all you want with the way this, with what's going on. Do it in another fashion. You know, that's why I guess in England they take their role as a kid looking up to them. They take that very seriously. You know, in America, I don't think the NFL player really, there are a lot of them that do, but I think for the most part, most of them, it's like they're a lottery winner and cha-ching, and they don't take that role of, hey, I'm someone looks up to me, I'm a mentor, I need to set a good example, I need to be a role model. I could be wrong, but you know, that's how I feel. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in and listening wherever you are, whether you're in the West Coast, East Coast, or whether you're right home this weekend. And anybody that's going to be around this weekend, we got the inevitable Feast of the Hunter's Moon. Next year will be its 50th year. It's the 49th this year. I've been going since about 76, 77. I was born in 75. And you get to reenact the people from this area. And, of course, you could move that event to the Highlands of Bolivia or the Nazca Plateau in Peru, where they get like a half an inch of rain a year or in 5 years. A good 5 years, and guess what? It'd rain. Seems like it rains almost every time we have the thing, and I guess they're talking 90% chance of lightning on Friday when I'll be out there, and then Saturday and Sunday, it looks to be okay right now, but who knows? It always seems to rain around that time. I'm just glad that we really haven't had much rain at all, so it's kind of very dry, so hopefully if it rains, there won't be much effect on it. But if anybody's local and wants to check it out, I'll be playing sometime Saturday and Sunday with Whole Nine Yards dance group. So playing music with my Baron. So check it out if you're local, if you live in Lafayette, Indiana. And if you're not from Lafayette, make it a weekend. Come out like Friday and go to it. It's a big, huge event. We get people from all over, and it's a great time. And anyone that's there like me, we love to share the history of this area and the history in general. So it's a good time because I'm a lover of history, and it's going to be good. Hopefully we just don't have the lightning that they're probably on Friday. So, but I think it's going to move. So it's one of those things where I think it's going to move to Saturday and hopefully it'll dissipate. But it's all good. It all works out. God always has us safe. There's only been one, because throughout the years in many states and stuff. And there's only been like one time I can remember where tornado sirens are going off. So we had to go to like one of these monuments under the monument in this like bunker. And then it got to the point that we finally used. Some people brought their drums and were just playing music out. It was a good time. So there's only been one time where it's been really severe that we've had to deal with. But, you know, but at least at the feast anyways, it seems like there's always rain or something. I mean, you could go 3 months without rain and then the feast happens and rain. But if you're out in the local area or whatever, look it up. Come out. See me. Even if you're not from the area, make it a plan 1 year to come out. And with the firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Until next Thursday, good night and God bless. Goodbye.